You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. So 15 nations have come to the rescue, and stock markets in Europe and Asia have given a strong welcome to the latest rescue plans for the world financial system. The new Eurozone plan announced this morning guarantees loans between banks and provides government capital to protect ailing financial institutions. In London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan, the main indices rose about 5% in early trading. The ugly week that was is behind us, but what is ahead as Europe and the UK proceed with plans to actually take control of the worldwide banking system? With the U.S. expected to follow suit this morning, this is a defining moment for this crisis, but also for the entire capitalist system itself. BBC business correspondent Alex Ritson joins us now. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, John.
So the Brits have decided to go further with a plan they proposed last week, and the Europeans have basically taken this UK model, and we expect Washington to do the same, and markets are happy all over the world.
Well, what the Brits are doing is really implementing the plan that was announced last week. The number that was eventually given was something like $600 billion was the total value of the UK plan. What they're doing is spending the first $60 billion of that on really investments by the government directly into three of the biggest banks in the UK. Those banks are the Royal Bank of Scotland, RBS, HBOS and Lloyds TSB. And in two of those cases, the investment is so big. In fact, in the case of RBS, the government will effectively own 60% of the bank. So this really is nationalisation. The government is taking control of those banks. The government says they'll be run at arm's length. But that said, there are going to be restrictions on what those banks can do. And the first thing that's going to happen is that the head of the chief executive, Sir Fred Goodwin, is going to roll.
Now, one little detail from Britain, and that is Barclays seems to think it can go it alone and has managed to raise enough capital on its own. Why is Barclays out of this window here?
This is an interesting strategy by Barclays. All the banks in the UK have faced major problems in recent days and weeks with their share price tumbling. In order to accept the UK government's rescue plan, a bank needs to agree, if it takes the money, to a degree of control from the government. And what Barclays has done is decided it's going to go out, try and raise the money it needs in the financial markets. It's the only one that has taken that stand, and if it succeeds, that means that Barclays will be the lone one standing that has that doesn't have to take direction from the UK government.
And that could either be a good thing, or it could just sort of change the brand of Barclays. Hey, we're independent. In general, though, Europe and the UK are betting that investors and depositors are going to replace whatever trust they used to have in the banking system with governments. Trust in governments, is that something that's going to work here?
Well, of course, just to tie that into your previous question, it's actually quite a... No one really knows how this is going to work out yet, but what Barclays is doing is saying that we're going to be an independent bank, we're not taking the government money. But, of course, all the other banks are being guaranteed by the government. Now, if you're someone who is lending money to banks, who would you rather lend to? To a government-backed bank, where you hopefully know that the money will ultimately be repaid, or a bank in the private sector? It's a question that people are going to have to face.
But is trust in government something that can persist here? I mean, certainly it's an enormous global bet. If there are pictures around even Europe of runs on banks and governments having to enforce a kind of rationing of people redeeming their deposits, trust in government isn't going to look terribly good.
Well, I think you have to ask yourself, what's the alternative? What the government's... I mean, this today is being... could be a turning point. It could be a real seminal moment in this crisis. The governments are putting everything on the line here. They're saying, we will not let any major banks fail. We are going to stand four square behind them, and we will back it with as much money as is needed. In fact, we had the central banks of all the big countries, including yours, including the Federal Reserve, making unlimited amounts of money available as working day-to-day capital on a fixed interest rate to banks around the world. The governments are staking everything on this. If it doesn't work, then we really are in trouble.
Well, let's put that aside for a moment, and also forget the markets today. They are poised to go up in some sort of vote of confidence for this.
Yeah, and the markets are not a measure of whether this is working or not. The measure is whether the banks survive this crisis.
Exactly. The banks have to survive. That's one thing that we need to watch. Also, inflation is something that we need to watch over the next couple of years. And confidence by depositors, how are we going to be able to gauge that?
Inflation certainly is something that governments always have to watch and central banks always have to watch. It was something that nearly killed us back in the 1970s. However, it's not the primary concern today. The primary concern today is simply making sure that the banks can survive this crisis. Once that's been done, they will turn their attention to other aspects of monetary policy. But at the moment, it's getting that confidence back into the banking system.
And I guess the first sign of that is going to be commercial paper beginning to trade again and these sort of business loans beginning to circulate. Alex Ritson, BBC business correspondent, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.